Hello and welcome to Sumo Manichi. It is day two of Haru Basho. My name's Amy. I'm here with Dave, and this was a cracking day of sumo, actually.
We commented quite early on that I think we're about four or five bouts deep, and we thought we've seen more good bouts already than we saw on day one. I think that's probably a bit of an overstatement, but it was a cracker of a day of sumo.
Well, there are just a few quick ones, I guess. Yesterday, some Harakikomi, some
quick
really
yorikiris.
Fast-paced sumo that didn't leave a lot to the imagination. And today we got some really longer bouts. We got some back and forth. We got some guys chucking each other around. And it just seemed like everybody sort of activated today. And I really enjoyed the day sumo.
Osaka, it was cold again today. I think exactly the same temperature as yesterday as Makuuchi kicked off. 12 degrees Celsius, 54 degrees Fahrenheit, a chilly day for sumo. But I tell you what, those shots on NHK made Osaka look like a very, very attractive place to be.
It's so lovely. Again, always makes me so jealous. We had some nice ones of the Osaka Aquarium as well. When they displayed the scores on the screen. I haven't been there.
Yeah, I have been there. There's something about going to aquariums makes me want to eat sushi afterwards.
Oh, no.
And I don't know, it's not a direct thing. It's not like
I think it is a direct thing.
Well, I think it's a direct thing, but it's not like I'm walking around going, look at all these tasty fish.
Right.
It's more that I get to the end and I think, I could really go some sushi. It's a subconscious thing, for sure. All right, let's kick in to today's bouts. We know over the last few days we've had a lot of new listeners come to the podcast, so welcome. Just a quick note on the format. We give you a selection of bouts before we hit Sanyaku, things that interest us, some good bouts, quality bouts for you to keep an eye on, but this is not all of them.
Good point.
Just like a little tasting palette.
It's a sprinkling. And sometimes we do more and sometimes, you know, we've had a big day at our regular jobs and we do fewer, but today we've got quite a few for you, actually.
We still bring you all the bouts that matter, though.
Yes.
Regardless of the day we've had at work.
And sorry if we miss your favourites, but we'll touch on them eventually.
Yes, we will. Let's have a look at this Endo Takeru Fuji. This was the first bout of Makuuchi. Both of these rikishi coming from the same university, Nihon University.
A long way apart.
Well, many, many years apart, actually. Speed and intensity on show here. Takeru Fuji met Endo. Then Endo quickly established a left-hand belt grip. This was very fast and furious sumo.
It was. I thought Endo came out with a lot of energy here. He obviously didn't want to get showed up by the young guy, the young prodigy, I guess we'll call him, from Isagahama. But he tried his best.
I thought he was strong and fast here, but his opponent today in Takeru Fuji was stronger and faster because Takeru Fuji also found his own left-hand belt grip and he shoved Endo to the Tawara. Endo here, he really didn't want to lose this. He was twisting and turning. Great to see Endo really putting some emotion in behind these bouts.
I know. When he does, I always feel for him. I mean, he's down so low. He has been for a while and I can't help wondering, you know, what's up with him and why he's not finding the success that he did once find. I mean, obviously he's getting older.
He's Maegashira 16. With that loss, he's 0-2. But for Takeru Fuji at Maegashira 17 on debut, dream start 2-0.
Roga came up against Kidnowaka today. A really great bout between these two, both newly returned to Makuuchi at their highest ranks. It was a great tachi-ai. Roga got himself off the edge a couple of times. So Kidnowaka always goes out really strong. I knew this would be a good bout between these two. But Roga had a lot of power and footwork here today.
Yeah, Roga is looking completely different. I don't want to really spend too much time talking about this, but I knew this was going to happen, and I've said it. I can't remember the timestamp, but I knew Roga would come back to Makuuchi looking different. And today, I really felt confident that he's here to stay in the top division.
I think so, because even though I thought Kidnowaka here ended up with the dominant position, he was the one facing outwards. Roga was the one on the edge. Roga was still able to use his right-hand grip to throw Kinawaka down Shitatsunage. It was pretty cool.
Beautiful.
It was a cool
throw.
One.
Beautiful throw.
I gave that the cool tick.
Yeah, I felt that one. Good work, Roga. This is a great way for him to start. He is 2-0. Kinawaka 0-2. Well, the bouts just continued in very, very good fashion. Ryuden and Nishiki Fuji. This was a long, long belt battle. And I've got to say, I'm feeling Ryuden sumo again.
Yeah, you're back in love a little bit with him.
Look,
I like that.
Yesterday, gave us some fantastic belt sumo. Today did exactly the same thing against Nishiki Fuji. And yes, maybe Ryuden of old, this wouldn't have taken so long, but we saw both hands on the belt. We saw him sticking those hips out, and he looks incredibly hard to move when he does that. Interestingly, they ended up after about 90 seconds back towards the middle of the dojo. Nishiki Fuji had double-handed belt grip on the inside.
Very, very powerful hold.
Well, it was a very powerful hold, and Ryuden had to make do with the double outside belt grip. So from here, like, other Rikishi would try to get inside.
Yep, grip flip.
The Makakai grip flip, try to work their way in into an advantageous position. Ryuden didn't need it. He was able to generate enough power and strength with that outside grip, and he moved Nishiki Fuji over the Tawara.
Yeah, he is looking good. Just, I mean, there's 2 days. We're getting ahead of ourselves. We love to do it.
This is the hardest day, isn't it? Because we both want to go hard with our predictions, with the form based on 2 days of sumo. We know we have to wait until day three.
Yeah, at least.
Day three,
we're there.
Off the leash.
All right, come on, Ryuden. All right, let's back it up with a third win tomorrow. But two is a good start. Nishiki Fuji, he hasn't managed to get one again on his return to Makuuchi at Maegashira 14. So he'll be looking again tomorrow. But Ichi Yamamoto was able to get his first win today. It was against, and I want to whisper this, Shodai.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I was lamenting Ichi Yamamoto's weak attacks. And today, I don't think they look much stronger.
But I thought they did. I thought they were much stronger, the Supari.
The Supari attacks, but I think his opponent today just made them look stronger.
All right. I might give you that because Shodai basically did absolutely nothing. He was kind of just shoved to the side, and then it was like he was a bit of a rag doll just being pushed around by, I have to say, a determined-looking Ichi Yamamoto.
Agree, but Shodai should be able to handle this even in middling form.
Yeah.
But he did not.
So I got into the Shodai vortex after day one this time around with his win against Kota Shoho, which I thought was pretty good.
Good win.
Because Kota Shoho is not bad, but today a loss against Ichi Yamamoto. Both of these Rikishi are 1-1.
Well, on North Shore, continued his winning ways with another powerful touchy eye. This is his signature. We've seen it.
They did a supercut of his touchy eye.
I think four or five of his touchy eye, obviously the one from yesterday and a few from January, all exactly the same. The timing, the positioning. And I think the message there was he's hitting this form. We've seen him fluctuate over his career in terms of consistency. The touchy eye, we saw a long kind of period of time where his inconsistency meant that he was losing his feet. But the feet are coming with him, upstairs, downstairs, working together.
I was worried with these two that they'd clash heads, actually, because they'd go so hard in their touchy eye, but luckily it didn't happen today.
Yeah, I was bracing myself for this collision, but yeah, luckily it didn't quite happen. Hokuto Fuji, he was able to withstand Onosho's opening attack, and Hokuto Fuji actually found a way to fight his way off the Tawara, but Onosho stayed on his feet as the match turned to chaos, and a right-hand belt grip, he landed on Hokuto Fuji, and he used that to take Hokuto Fuji out.
So that's two wins in a row for Onosho. I do love to see it.
I've got to wait one more day.
Stop the pull, the psychic pull. Hokuto Fuji hasn't managed a win yet, and there are quite a few Rikishi who just have started off a little unstable, and he's one of them. But we'll see how he goes. Gonoyama came up next against Onosato, and this one was an easy win for Onosato. He is looking a little bit like his mentor, like his Oyakata, Nishonoseki Oyakata, ex-Kisnasato. When he finishes some of these bouts off, he just took Gonoyama, a struggling Gonoyama. And I mean struggling as in he's not doing well, but also he was actually struggling. He was kind of caught in the grip of Onosato, flinging himself back and forth. But Onosato just took him to the Tawara, flicked his hips with his legs spread wide in that stance and pushed him over.
Onosato sumo is pretty. It's very, very pleasant to watch. And compare it to Gonoyama, as you said, all over the shop today. Onosato, I believe he is 2-0 now.
Yep, he sure is. And Gonoyama, another one of those struggling, as I said before, literally and metaphorically, 0-2.
All right, well, we are into Sanyaku. Sekiwake Daisho up against Maegashira 3 Oho, who is finding some form. Daisho opened with the thrusting attacks, of course, we know. Mm. We know that. They were accurate under Orhor's chin. Now, normally, Orhor of 2023, head would have flicked back and he would have just gone over the Tawara. Mm.
Or tried to pull him.
Tried to pull him or not even be involved enough to pull him. Yeah, but true. 2024 Orhor, he looked calm as he went back. Head went back a bit, but it didn't seem to bother him all that much because he stayed stable enough to launch a quality counterattack. One huge thrust sent Daisho across the dojo.
It was huge. It
didn't even look that big.
No. But no, effect, it just sent him moving.
Yeah, and Orhor, he closed in, but, you know, not out of control, kept his balance, and he was able to thrust Daisho another couple of times and take him over the Tawara.
Yeah, I mean, coming up against Wakamoto Haru yesterday, he looked okay, but he did get the loss. But today, yeah, that thrust was just so powerful. And as you said, it didn't look that stressful for him. He's a powerful guy, Orhor. I did want to hear about Daisho's arms in that both his elbows are bandaged, and I wondered whether that tsupari, that thrusting attack, just wasn't working as well, or maybe not able to get the right rhythm if there's a bit of pain there.
I thought his elbows were always bandaged.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, now I can't remember, are they?
No. I don't know. I mean, Daisho's a bit of a hot and cold form guy. You know, sometimes that kind of sumo will just blow his opponent away. And I don't know, this form of Orhor's is very, very unfamiliar to me.
Well, he hasn't started off with two losses for quite a while.
Daisho?
Since July 2022.
Wow.
When he was Sekiwake, not for the first time, not for the second time.
Wow.
And he ended up going Kyujo in that Basho. I mean, there's no parallels to draw really, but he hasn't started off so poorly for a while.
Quite a long time. So Daisho 0-2, Orhor 1-1.
May say it, Maegashira 2 came up against the aforementioned Wakamoto Haru, the Sekiwake, back in his rightful place. Although I wouldn't mind that rightful place to be Ozeki. Yeah. And then Yokozuna.
Well, we're happy with Sekiwake for now.
That'll do for now. May say in the spirit of the day, came out really, really hard. He absolutely attacked Wakamoto Haru with force, with his full energy, and he's got a lot, may say. But Wakamoto Haru, he's in the zone again. He's rediscovered the zone. I don't know, he's re-found it. He's hopped back in it, and he was able to keep may say much more under control.
Yeah, I thought Wakamoto Haru handled Meisei very, very well today. And as you said, it's like he's just clicked back into this Sekiwake role.
Yeah.
After 2 days, and even, you know, the form in January that got him back there was just that little bump in the road, a little bit of an injury. There was that henka that we never want to talk about again. And that Wakamoto Haru, 2023 Wakamoto Haru, now feels like a distant dream.
Yeah, totally.
He's back.
I mean, Meisei was trying to throw him down, Watanage. Yep. They were sort of doing that opening out thing, and he did get pushed downwards. It looked like, you know, he was doing quite a lot to counter those throw attempts, but he still looked really steady, and he was able to keep himself moving forward and crush Meisei down. It was a Yoritaoshi win for Wakamoto Haru.
Yeah, I questioned the Yoritaoshi because I thought this was a belt throw. He must have let it go right at the last moment.
But I really did see it as a crush. I wrote crush down before.
But if you've got a hand on your belt while you do it, it's not a crush down.
Mm.
Anyway.
Is it? What if you just lay your body forwards on them and they fall down, even if you're just touching the belt? It's about
He had a grip.
Yeah, but it's about what the actual winning move is,
I don't know. Hand on the belt feels like a belt throw.
All right. Well, it was given Yoritaoshi. I'm very sorry about that.
We do have to say the JSA administrators disagreed with me.
They did. So Meisei has never managed to beat Wakamoto Haru. Wakamoto Haru now moves to 2-0. Meisei 1-1.
Okay. Ozeki Kirishima was up against Maegashira 2 Atami Fuji. I've been talking a lot about Atami Fuji coming out of the Tachiyo with no real plan. Being fast and aggressive, but no real plan B. Today, Atami Fuji didn't get the chance because Kirishima was so fast out of the touchy eye, clamped a right hand on the front of Atami Fuji's belt. Atami Fuji did not have time to even come forward.
Yeah. Yep. It was just such good work from him.
From Kirishima.
Yeah, from Kirishima at the touchy eye.
Well, it was.
I thought he tried to nullify a Tummy Fuji with everything that he had in there. But that made what happened after just even more impressive.
Well, a Tummy Fuji's reaction here was clever. He tried the arm lockup, like the Terran of Fuji, can I just lock these arms to stop Kirishima doing something? And that actually worked. And while Atami Fuji had Kirishima's arms locked up, he managed to step Kirishima back a couple of steps. And then Atami Fuji broke loose briefly, just enough for Kirishima to lose the belt grip. And again, Kirishima went backwards. Interestingly here, Kirishima, in the chaos, finds that belt grip again.
Yeah, he was able to land the hand. I couldn't believe it. I saw his fingers like really reaching around. And I thought if he gets this, Atami Fuji is in massive trouble again.
Well, he did get his hand
he
on.
He did.
But Atami Fuji had surged forward here, committed the body and just committed the width. And he forced Kirishima to step over the bales.
Boy,
huge win.
There. Yeah, it was massive.
For Atami Fuji.
It was massive. And what I really liked about this is that even though Kirishima, obviously with his loss yesterday, came out with such determination and power, Atami Fuji decided to match it. And that's when he does his best sumo, when he just goes, you know, bugger it, I'm just going to go out. I'm good. I'm going to stay body to body with my opponents. Yeah. I'm going to move with them. I trust myself.
I don't mind this, the fact that he didn't go so hard at the touchy eye and leave himself completely exposed.
Mm. But followed up with it later.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was thinking on his feet very, very well here.
This was the first time that he's beaten Kirishima, and it was another Ozeki or Sanyaku and Sanyaku white dot to add to his collection. He's previously beaten Daisho and Hoshoryu, I think. Wow. That's all out of the current Sanyaku.
That's pretty good. So Kirishima now, after losing yesterday to Abi, was it Abi? I think
was it
Abi.
We could talk while we looked, I suppose.
Yeah, it was Kirishima. losing to Abi yesterday. He's now 0-2, Kirishima.
Yeah, that's
this is
a
nightmare
problem.
Start.
I mean, this is... there's no talk about it, of course, because...
It's day two.
It's day two. No, but because Miyagino Ueba stories are so massive. But the storyline with Kirishima is that this is his last basho in his current stable, Michinoku, which is closing after this. And he will be moving. I believe it's set. I've seen it announced as definite.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure that he'll be going to Otoeyama Baya, which is
his old mate,
Kakuryu's new stable, which only has a whole lot of new recruits. So, you know, big changes in his life. He probably wants to have a good showing for his Oyakata, who's retiring after turning 65,
I mean,
whose name he's taken. Like, there's big, big news here.
He's Ozeki. He needs to do well.
Well, there's also
time.
That.
But it does feel like the conversation has shifted very much from Yokozuna run to... Let's get eight, Kirishima.
Let's get eight, mate. Please.
All right. Let's move on to Asanayama and Kodonowaka.
Yes. So even though he won yesterday, Kodonowaka, there was a report on his sumo which called it fluffy and uneasy. So
yeah, who said that?
Haruki Kikomi. Oh, it was one of the Oyakata, and I can't remember off the top of my head now which one.
Fluffy and uneasy.
Yeah. It was an uneasy win, and then the
sumo
sort of style and the sumo was fluffy. And it was just that... fairly quick and easy Haruki Kikomi win against Atami Fuji. Yep, so just holding him up at the touchy and then pulling him straight down.
I mean, that's a damning review.
Well, I think if you can get that win
hey.
On your first win as Ozeki, you take it.
Let me just check the border of that white dot. Oh, no, it's not fluffy at all. Jeez.
Very firm.
Go easy.
I know. I thought it was pretty
hard. It's a day one win as Shin Ozeki.
Well, I don't know if it had an effect because today his sumo wasn't steady and this time he was penalised for it. Asanayama pushed forward with his head really low. He doesn't quite match the size of Kodonowaka, but he's coming close. And even when Kodonowaka tried to grab his arm, he yanked it back out and was able to shove forward again for the win, for the Asanayama win, I should say.
Well, I mean, there's only one word you can really describe Kodonowaka's sumo as today.
Yeah.
Fluffy.
Yeah.
Too fluffy. Yeah. Asanayama is always going to take it to someone like Kodonowaka. I always think that Asanayama fights better against bigger opponents.
Yes, because he's able to do that style that he likes where he can be a little bit slower and a bit more Ozeki-like, I guess.
Yeah.
Felt a bit like an Ozeki matchup. It wasn't back and forth particularly. It wasn't that difficult, but It looked good for him. Yeah. So what are their head-to-head here? Yeah, so Konnawaka has never beaten Asaniyama.
Huh? Wow. So hang on. Obviously, that was today. The last time they met was September last year when Asaniyama was at Maegashira 2. And the time before that was May 2016.
Oh, when they were in Sandanme together.
So we had Asaniyama with the Shikona Ishibashi. That's a good name. You shouldn't have changed
that. I don't mind that.
Ishibashi. And Koto Kamatani.
Yep.
Koto Kamatani. Okay, I think he's made an improvement with Konnawaka.
Well, Kamatani is his real name.
Okay. All right.
Yep. I think it's
good
better.
Sumo facts.
Yeah, thank you. I clicked on a link. How good am I?
I thought you knew that.
Oh, I know everything. Asaniyama picking up his first win. That's his first win, isn't it? He lost yesterday.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And already after 2 days, I don't know how people remember scores. I can't remember them after 2 days. Anyway, Asaniyama 1-1, Konnawaka the same.
Okay, Ozeki Takakesho v. Arbi at Komisubi. I really don't like the way the commentators always refer to Takakesho as Karuban.
Yeah,
Ozeki.
Karuban no Ozeki.
Hey, he's just an Ozeki, all right? Yeah.
They always call him that.
I know, they love it.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't announce it over the speaker system as well.
But we had Takakesho taking on Arbi. I thought Arbi's opening was really good here. The thrusting attacks forced Takakesho back, but Takakesho steadied on his feet, kept his eyes on Arbi, and then started on his offensive. And we saw him almost restart and start this bout again. A few thrusts to push Arbi back, but Arbi's response here was to give space.
Yeah, he did. He just retreated. He stepped aside and then he made himself room for a great move.
Well, yeah, I mean, Arbi can be very, very dangerous here when he's retreating because he can do it very, very carefully. And Takakesho came in a little bit too hard. Arbi watched Takakesho come in, clamped a hand on the belt, put the other hand on the neck and rolled Takakesho to the ground. Arbi had to hang up on the Tawara for quite a while before Takakesho went down.
That cheek of his, that leg right up in the air paid off. His flexibility, his hip mobility paid off. And he really did a large, almost frog or toad style hop over the Tawara.
Well, with one foot on the Tawara, his other foot had to go directly off the doyo. Yeah. That's the spread on this guy.
Yeah, he can really do it. And it was a huge win for him. So poor Takakesho was left sprawled on the ground with these raptor scratches down his arm that looks like they've gouged, you know, two lines deep into his flesh. And then he was covered in dirt. And I think he might have been dragged along the dirt a little bit too. There was like dirt rash and he looked unhappy.
He looked miserable. And of course, you know, with the rumours of the neck injury coming in, whenever he goes down like that, you wince a little bit.
I watched it as he fell, actually, in the couple of replays. I thought from one replay he landed right on his neck.
Yeah.
He kind of cushioned it with his arm and was able to roll onto his shoulder a little bit, but I still don't think it would have been good for the neck.
They are very good at doing those rolls. Arbi, 2-0. Takakesho, 1-1.
Nishikigi, fresh off his win against the Yokozuna yesterday, came up today against Ozeki Hoshoryu, who lost yesterday as
well.
Now,
at this point, we're coming in with the three Ozeki before Hoshoryu losing.
Yep.
We've had losses from Kirishima, Konnawaka and Takakesho.
Yep. The Ozeki,
it's a bit of pressure on Hoshoryu.
Having a shocker. And even yesterday, only two out of the four of them won. This time, three have already lost. But Hoshoryu today was able to uphold the honour of the Ozeki all by himself. He sprang at Nishikigi. Did you notice Nishikigi held back a little bit at the tachi-ai and Hoshoryu really went out? Nishikigi was able to move his hips to prevent a belt grip from Hoshoryu and he reached around himself and grabbed the mawashi.
Yeah. It felt like Hoshoryu knew he could just outpace Nishikigi today.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably not a bad plan, is to not give Nishikigi too much time to get settled in a bout.
Yeah. So once he landed that belt grip, Hoshoryu just closed in. He was a bit lower and he was able to push Nishikigi back, even though he had that hold and Hoshoryu didn't. He was able to take him to the edge and out.
Yeah. So an Ozeki win on day two, finally, Hoshoryu. That's his first win. He's 1-1. and Nishikigi after that great win yesterday against Terunofuji. No, it wasn't Terunofuji.
Yeah,
was
it sure was.
It was Terunofuji. Yep. He is 1-1. That brings us to the final bout of day two, Yokozuna Terunofuji up against the hero of Osaka, the dragon of Dotenbori, Ura at Maegashira 1. The crowd was just an Ura cheer squad.
Yeah.
Towels, signs, fans. You could just see the pink wash over the people in attendance today.
And I think people are wearing pink tops to support him.
Mm.
Just like pink blouses.
There was just a very pastel colour in the crowd when he stepped up.
So you've got all the Ura merch, that's all pink. You've got your homemade signs, of course all in pink. But I do just think that people are wearing pink as well to support him. I think that's really, really cool.
Hometown hero up against the Yokozuna. Can he do it? Ura decided to go low at the touchy eye. He seemed to be very determined to get on the front of Terunofuji's belt. Now, here's where it gets weird.
Mm.
Because exactly like their meeting in January, Terunofuji locks up Ura's right arm. Just like when they met in January, he twists Ura around the dojo. At this point, we're screaming because we thought, we've seen this before.
Yeah. It wasn't just like a bit like it, was it? Oh. It was pretty much a step-for-step replay. I would love to see these two bouts
overlaid. Yeah.
He didn't quite have to do the same dragging around the ring. He did Terunofuji pirouetted around and Ura moved with him.
Mm.
So it wasn't so much the force. I remember in January, I thought Ura's arm was about
snap
to
off.
Be
yeah, that's
ripped
true,
out
actually.
Of its socket.
Yeah,
only difference here was that he moved more with it, maybe because he remembered that feeling. But then Terunofuji got all the way around and was able to deposit Ura off the dojo. And it was in exactly the same place as last time.
Exactly the same place. Ura's reaction on the Tawara was very similar, which is try to jump to buy yourself some more time, go off the dojo. Yeah, this was spooky stuff. a very solid win for Terunofuji in the face of a lot of Ura support.
Yeah, true. And after a loss yesterday. I mean, I guess we're saying it's strange. If it worked, maybe he just set out to do exactly that again. You could see him lean in at the touchy eye. We were watching Ura because you kind of always watch Ura at the touchy eye to see what he's going to do. But watching Terunofuji, he did scoop his arms around Ura's arm, and I think he was going for that move.
Well, you know, Ura did put it on a plate in front of him. He couldn't grab the arm if it wasn't exactly where it
reaching
was.
Reaching out, that's right.
Yeah, it's like they both did exactly the same thing.
I think next time Ura needs to keep the arms back. To do something funny. He needs to go way more Ura.
I completely agree.
And maybe he'll get that win.
For Terunofuji, that's his first win. He is 1-1. And for Ura, he is 1-1 with that loss. Probably a bit early to look at.
I'm not sure it is because there's not that many 2-0 people. So I can tell you that there's Wakamoto Haru, Abi, Ono Sato, Onosho, Takeyasu, Sadanoumi, who's doing very well, Ryuden, Miyogiryu, Roga, and Takeru Fuji.
Great. Let's have a look at the bouts at the end of the day. Tomorrow we'll just have a look at Sanyaku. Daisho takes on Abi.
Oof.
Their record is 11-10 Daisho's way. You would have to tip Abi tomorrow, right?
I think so.
Atami Fuji has a shot at Hoshoryu.
Okay.
Kirishima takes on Ura.
Yep.
Nishikigi takes on Kodonowaka. Takakeisho takes on Meisei.
Mm-hmm.
Terunofuji at the end of the day takes on Asuniyama.
Wow, that's going to be great.
Absolute banger of a Torikumi for tomorrow. I predict now another just exquisite day of sumo.
Yep. I'm really excited for that Terunofuji Asuniyama one, actually, because we've been denied that over the last little while because of Asuniyama's injuries.
Yes.
Various Torikumi things.
Yep.
Can't wait to see it.
Now is the time. Thank you so much for joining us on Sumo Mainichi tonight. We'll be here to bring you all the action from day 3 tomorrow.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.